Georgia with Lower Hate. This is FieldPod.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the right next to the Wiggle in San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 1st of October, 2015. On this date, in 1795, Belgium is conquered by France. 1800, Spain cedes Louisiana to France. 1811, the first steamboat to sail the Mississippi River arrives in New Orleans. 1827, the Russian army storms Yerevan, ending a millennium of Muslim domination in what is now Armenia. 1856, the first installment of Madame Bovary is published. 1890, Yosemite National Park established by the U.S. Congress. 1891, Stanford University opens its doors. 1908, Ford Motor Company unveils the Model T. 1918, Arab troops under Lawrence of Arabia captured Damascus. 1938, Germany annexes the Sudetenland. 1946, Nazi leaders are sentenced at the Nuremberg trials. And on that same day in 1946, from the bursting file of stuff that Americans don't hear about in history class, is the Autumn Uprising in Korea against the U.S. occupation authorities, mainly related to labor rights, but important later on in the other side's narrative around the Korean War. 1949, Mao Zedong proclaims the People's Republic of China, speaking of the other side of the Korean War. 1957, first appearance of In God We Trust on U.S. paper currency. 1965, Suharto crushes Indonesian coup attempt, leading to many, many thousands killed. 1969, the Concorde breaks a sound barrier for the first time. 1988, Gorbachev becomes the head of the Supreme Soviet after having been head of the party for 4 years. 1992, Cartoon Network begins broadcasting. Today is National Vegetarian Day. Birthdays today are Walter Matthau, Jimmy Carter, and Zach Galifianakis. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is about Georgia and NATO. What is the Georgian military for? Does Georgia need one if it's not allowed to use it? And the language coming out of the defense ministry and whether or not it's smart or not. Thanks again for posting on our forum, particularly the TopeelPod.com mascot, Will Dunbar. If you'd like to comment on a forum or ask a question, go to TopeelPod.com or send an email at TopeelPod@gmail.com. And on the Rustaviotti train wreck. On the 1st of October, Tbilisi City Court seized the shares of Sakart Velo TV company at the request of businessman Kibar Khalvashi, who had received Rustaviotti free several years ago. Sakart Velo TV company owns 51% of the shares of Rustaviotti TV. Khalvashi's lawyer explained that the two Karamanishvili brothers who own Rustaviotti were planning to transfer their shares in Sakart Velo TV to a relative of the former defense minister, Dato Kezadashvili, and show some kind of fake financial obligations. So Khalvashi demanded the court to ban the transfer of the shares, which they obliged. As a reminder, Khalvashi is the businessman who filed suit with Rustaviotti. In August, he asked the court to freeze Rustaviotti's assets, and the judge said, "Sounds good to me." Rustaviotti TV director Nika Gvaramia went on TV and said the government is deliberately trying to bankrupt them and they are close to suspending their broadcasting from lack of income. He called on viewers to give donations so they continue operating. This story is still developing on what exactly happened, so keep following. For those who haven't been following, what is happening is that the government really, really hates Rustaviotti. So they found a friendly judge to slowly make it impossible for Rustaviotti to broadcast with the maddeningly convenient excuse that it is the judiciary that is doing this. And then they cynically tell anybody who says anything, "You aren't asking us to interfere with the judiciary, are you?" And the Prime Minister Khatabashvili and President Mark Velashvili are in the U.S. this week, leading separate delegations, as is the way they do these sorts of things. Khatabashvili has been in New York to attend the U.N. General Assembly. On the 26th of September, he delivered a speech at the U.N. Sustainable Development Summit. He also addressed the Global Leaders Meeting on Gender Equality and Women's Empowerment. On the sideline of the U.N. General Assembly, Khatabashvili met with the presidents of Guyana, Togo, and the vice president of Equatorial Guinea. He had a brief encounter with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, met with U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Victoria Nuland, met Democratic Congressman Elliot Engel, who is on the U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Committee. He also had a meeting with former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. he invited Blair to visit Tbilisi because Blair is so incredibly popular in the United Kingdom. On the 28th of September, Ghadabashvili attended a summit on U.S. peacekeeping missions chaired by President Obama. He announced that Georgia is joining the NATO Response Force, which is a highly ready and technologically advanced multinational force made up of land, air, maritime, and special operations forces components that the alliance can deploy quickly wherever needed. Georgia is the fourth non-member country in the NATO Response Force. For now, the NATO Response Force Reserve will include 130 Georgian soldiers. As a note, in 2013, NATO said it would accept Georgia's offer to join the NATO Response Force in 2015. Since then, the Georgian unit has undergone special training in Georgia and Germany to prepare for the new mission. In New York, Ghadabashvili also hosted a business forum on the topic Georgia Making Business Easy. He also held some event at the Chelsea Market. Foreign Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili is accompanying Prime Minister in the UN. On the sidelines, he held bilateral meetings with a bunch of different people. UAE Foreign Minister expressed willingness in a meeting to launch direct flights between the Emirates and Tbilisi and Batumi. They also discussed the possibility of signing agreements to avoid double taxation and protect investments. On the 30th of September, on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, foreign ministers of Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine held a joint meeting with U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken and other senior U.S. officials, including Charles Kupchan, the Director of European Affairs at the National Security Council, and newly appointed U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary for European and Eurasian Affairs, Bridget Brink, who knows Georgia very well, having been posted to the Samshoblo two different times. Meanwhile, President Mark Velashvili was also in New York on the 27th of September. He participated in an allegedly high-level discussion on women's rights hosted by Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė, who chairs the Council of Women World Leaders. As a reminder, President Mark Velashvili had declared 2015 Year of the Woman as a campaign for awareness about domestic violence. On the 29th of September, he gave a lecture at Fordham University Law School. On the Council of Foreign Relations, he visited U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London, which is about 2 hours up the coast, where he paid tribute to two Georgian cadets who died in a car crash in New Jersey in March 2015. Mark Velashvili also participated in a symbolic Free Shevchenko protest alongside former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. In D.C., President Mark Velashvili is meeting with about 15 senators, including John McCain. He's also meeting with heads of the World Bank, IMF, and the National Democratic Institute, that being Ken Wallach. On the 1st of October, he will speak at the Kenan Institute, the Woodrow Wilson Center for International Scholars. On the 27th of September, Rustavi Odi aired an interview with former police lieutenant Georgi Babunashvili, who relayed an instance where he and police had to let the brother of a government official, the deputy director of the State Security Service, Levan Izoria, get away with a traffic offense after showing a special permit called a Naro Shilovka. He also had video footage. The interview had everyone talking and confirmed general knowledge that powerful people and their friends had permission to drive as they want. Some of the video footage also implicated an official at the prosecutor general's office for possibly having the Naro Shilovka card, but is less clear on what the circumstances were and why that official was pulled over by police or whether the card was used. The next day, after the interview was aired, the Ministry of Internal Affairs said it's studying the case about Izoria's brother. The prosecutor's office has also launched an investigation for abuse of official powers by ministry officials. On the 30th of September, Minister of Internal Affairs Georgi Mkhebrishvili issued an order abolishing the special permits. They were issued by a secret order in 2009. So now the Interior Minister said that every Naro Shilovka card will be confiscated and destroyed. Vahram Gomelauri, who chairs the State Security Service, said that every law offender will be published, including his deputies or heads of departments. There was a lot of that kind of stuff back in Bono's day when interior people had special whatever. I mean, in terms of, Misha used to do that all the time in terms of printing passports and, I don't know, that sort of thing. It's creepy. Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe has a new report on the abuse of pretrial detention in Russia, Georgia, and Turkey. The report claims that Georgia is using excessive pretrial detention for political reasons against former government officials to harass and weaken the opposition. The new report is written by Pedro Agrimunt from the Spanish People's Party. The report mentions the case of Gigi Ugulava, Vano Merabashvili, and Bacho Akhalaya. As a note, UNM has observer status in the European People's Party, which Agrimunt's People's Party is a member of. The Council of Europe's Parliamentary Assembly has previously expressed concern that the high-profile trials against former officials are a form of retribution and bear signs of being politically motivated. On the 1st of October, the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe adopted a resolution criticizing Georgia along with Turkey and Russia for abuse of pretrial detention. The resolution, Abuse of Pretrial Detention in States Parties to the European Convention on Human Rights, was adopted with 89 votes to 10. The Georgian Dream component of the Georgian delegation to the Assembly denounced it as biased. Georgian Dream lawmakers Manana Kobakhidze, who's vice speaker of parliament, told the Assembly that the proposed report and the draft resolution had nothing to do with the current situation in Georgia. She said that the text demonstrates sympathy towards the United National Movement as a member of the EPP group, and that certain elements of the report show disrespect to the judiciary of Georgia. Georgian Dream members of the Georgian delegation were pushing for a number of amendments to the draft resolution, but their proposals were rejected. The resolution describes that among the root causes of the abusive use of pretrial detention is when the prosecution tries to ensure that requests for pretrial detention are decided by a judge who, and I quote, for various reasons is expected to be accommodating, end quote. It also lists the possibility for the prosecution to circumvent statutory limits imposed on pretrial detention by modifying or staggering indictments, all of which is clearly happening. Speaking in New York on the 29th of September, President Mark Velashvili told Georgian journalists that the presidential pardon will not be used in a political context. Misha recently spoke on an Amedi program calling on Mark Velashvili to release high-profile prisoners Gigi Ugulava, Bacho Akhalaya, and Vano Merabashvili, saying that it will testify to Mark Velashvili's decency and will determine Mark Velashvili's role in Georgian history. Mark Velashvili responded that, quote, the presidential pardon is not a mechanism for deciding the justice or injustice of political issues. This mechanism was and remains a humanitarian function of the state, end quote. As a reminder, earlier in July, President Mark Velashvili was criticized by Prime Minister Kharabashvili when he pardoned two former officials from Khoni municipality, including the brother of a UNM lawmaker. Following up on the lari, it's gone up in value against the dollar compared to last week. Finally, the National Bank has set the new exchange rate. As of the 1st of October, one U.S. dollar will cost 2.3857 lari. Earlier this week, the previous exchange rate was 2.3816, but this is still better than previously, where it had gone down to 2.41. For the first time in history, the village of Duisi in the Pankisi Gorge has a female governor. According to the Information Center of Kakheti, 55-year-old Tamar Margoshvili was selected for the post after gaining the highest scores in several application examinations. The role became vacant in December 2014. She said she initially wrote the exams in early 2015, was offered a different job in the village municipality, but that she wanted to be governor, so she applied again. She previously worked as a teacher in a local school and kindergarten. On the traditional society roles in Pankisi, she said, and I quote, our traditions say women aren't able to have such positions like being a governor, and people were against having a woman as a leader, but I am no worse than any man. I took up the fight and I made it, end quote. Rocha Tamar. On the 25th of September, Energy Minister Kaki Kaladze met Gazprom CEO Alexei Miller in Brussels. According to Kaladze, they discussed preparatory work for the 2015-16 winter season, as well as the transit of gas to Armenia. Currently, Armenia is the only country to which Georgia transits Russian gas. With a transit fee, Georgia receives 10% of the total amount of gas transited by Russia to Armenia through a 221-kilometer-long north-south gas pipeline. Opposition politicians and others were upset over the meeting Info about the meeting actually became known through a Gazprom press release. So they said that discussing these sensitive issues like energy independence in secret is inappropriate. Nino Bourgeonadze, the leader of the opposition Democratic Movement United Georgia Party, speaking of Russia, met with Russian officials in St. Petersburg on the 24th of September. She met with Valentina Matvienenko, Speaker of the Russian Upper House of Parliament. Bourgeonadze was in St. Petersburg to participate in the inaugural Eurasian Women's Forum. This is Bourgeonadze's second visit to Russia in the past 2 months. Following up on previous month's stories, the body of one more person who went missing in the 13th of June flood was identified. The body was found by police in the Kvadi River in Tbilisi's Ponichala area in August. The victim was identified as Elsbar Bagashvili. Reportedly, he had returned to Tbilisi from Moscow only hours before the flood and was on the way home from a meeting with a friend when the car he was in was swept off the road. Three people are still missing. Gori City Council is set to discuss on the 2nd of October putting back up the Stalin statue in the town center. The overall cost of the project is up to 2 million lari now. During preliminary debate, only two of the nine council members opposed restoring the statue from the UNM and Free Democrats. Proponents of restoring the statue argue that it has importance as a historical monument and say it will be part of the Stalin Museum exhibition. As a reminder, the Stalin statue was dismantled in June 2010. Germany is offering 156 million euros to Georgia in an agreement signed by Georgia's finance ministry and Germany's Ministry of Economic Cooperation and Development. KfW Development Bank will give €140 million, while the remaining 16 million will be granted by the German Federal Enterprise for International Cooperation, or GIZ. GIZ aid will contribute to regional projects and sustainable economic development as well as environmental protection. Of the money from the KfW Development Bank, 5 million will be financed. The finance sector support program, 100 million will be spent on building a high voltage power line. 34 million will be allocated to the Samegrelo and Kakheti regions for running the solid waste management program, which had previously been in Kutaisi. On the 24th of September, there's a rally of around 100 people outside the presidential palace in Tbilisi protesting against Georgia's NATO integration and calling on the authorities to declare their neutrality. The rally was organized by two known pro-Russian groups, Eurasian Choice Georgia and the King Erekle Maori Society. Activists from the UNM-affiliated youth group Free Zone held a counter-demonstration nearby. They were blaming the Georgian Dream Coalition for encouraging pro-Russian forces in Georgia. 27th of September marked the fall of Sukhumi in 1993 when Georgian troops were forced out of Abkhazia, as well as a lot of Georgian people. There was a wreath-laying ceremony at the Memorial for Fallen Soldiers at Hero Square in Tbilisi. Soldier Vasil Kuljanishvili, who was killed on duty while patrolling the Bagram Air Force base in Afghanistan last week, was buried in his hometown of Rustavi. Hundreds of mourners attended, including U.S. Ambassador to Georgia Ian Kelly, Vice Prime Minister Kakha Kaladze, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili, other servicemen who were injured in the attack. Pata Rostobaya is undergoing medical treatment in Germany. Latest group of Georgian soldiers to participate in the NATO-led Resolute Support Mission in Afghanistan had a farewell ceremony on the 30th of September. They will serve 7 months. On the 24th of September, Russian border guards kidnapped two people from the Dvani village near the administrative borderline with South Ossetia. They were accused of illegally crossing the border. One of them was 13 years old, but was quickly released through the involvement of Georgia's security services and the EUMM. His older cousin is in detention in Skhinvali. According to the ombudsman, Nanuashvili, Tbilisi's Children's Infectious Disease Clinic hospital discriminates against fathers. There was a complaint that fathers are not allowed to stay overnight in the hospital with their children, only mothers or grandmothers. The hospital justified the categorical rejection, arguing that men may come there drunk, so no men are allowed overnight. Two five-star hotels will be built in Tbilisi with a $30 million investment project from local firm Emeridians Limited. They will build a multifunctional complex named White Sail. It will have, that's S-A-I-L, it will have the, it will have two hotels, six apartment hotels, a casino, conference hall, sports hall, food facilities, and a recreation zone. Historic castle in the small French village of Louville, about 30 kilometers south of Paris, will soon become the property of Georgia. The first independent government of Georgian exile settled there in 1921 after fleeing the Bolshevik invasion. According to the State Minister for Diaspora Issues, the government had allocated over 100,000 euros for transferring ownership of the state to Georgia. The money is needed for estate assessment and diagnostic work. A special commission, which includes Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani, was established to oversee the transfer of ownership. It will be interesting to see what happens with that, what they do with it, if anything, and if the complex is improved and protected. Following up on previous week's stories, Georgian honey that will be sold in the EU next year will undergo strict screening measures from the laboratory of the Ministry of Agriculture to ensure the products don't contain any residue of antibiotics or pesticides. 60 new devices were installed throughout the country to determine air quality and pollution levels. The monitoring devices are an initiative of the National Agency of Environment. The monitoring devices will produce exact information about the levels of air pollution. That information will be sent to labs in the UK for analysis. According to Health Minister Sergeyenko, the government adopted a new model for funding treatments for AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. Until now, the medical treatment for these three illnesses has been allocated by the Global Fund, Bill and Melinda Gates, which has been financing treatment in Georgia since 2006 and has spent $100 million so far. The plan, if the government remains in power, is to have the state slowly replace Global Fund financing, starting at 5% and increasing to 75%. Over the next 3 years. Poland is granting Georgia 30,000 euros to purchase modern risk assessment equipment to be able to better respond to floods and other natural disasters. The National Environment Agency signed a memorandum of understanding within the framework of Poland's Development Cooperation Program. The remains of a Georgian soldier who fought in the Second World War were returned to his hometown in Kakheti. Serviceman David Chalakehishvili was killed in the Battle of Stalingrad in 1942. The whereabouts of his remains were unknown until they were discovered by an association of World War II veterans in July 2015. His grandson went to Volgograd, which is what Stalingrad is now, to collect the remains. The National Bank has issued a 20-year anniversary collector's coin for the lari. It's an engraving with the sun in red. According to designer Bacha Malazonia, symbolizes eternity, life, power, and strength. The new lari symbol is in the middle. The coin was manufactured by Manika Polska, or the Polish Mint. 1,500 coins were made. The retail price is 95 lari. The coin weighs 28.28 grams, consisting of 93% silver. Georgian soprano Nino Machaidze will perform at the Deutsche Oper Berlin's premiere of Vasco da Gama, opening this week. And for six performances through October, Machaidze will perform the role of Inez, the daughter of Admiral Don Diego. 2005, Machaidze joined the Academy of La Scala in Milan. Georgia's national water polo team will compete in the 2016 European Water Polo Championships. The Georgian team successfully progressed through the second round of the qualification tournaments in Israel this week. The European Water Polo Championship will be in Belgrade in January. Two visually impaired computer programmers were awarded the Order of Honor by Tbilisi Mayor Narmania for adding an audio function to the Revenue Service website so that it's more accessible to people with disabilities. A village in Sachkhere district has a new modern kindergarten funded by the government of Japan. Georgia's pick for the 2016 Academy Awards Foreign Language Film Moira won the Signes Award at the San Sebastian International Film Festival in Spain. Signes is the World Catholic Association for Communications, NGO. And the film, Corn Island, opened the international section of the Terra di Siena Film Festival in Italy. Actor Ralph Fiennes showed up in Tbilisi last week on the 25th of September. He surprise visited the Marjanashvili Theater as they were preparing for the Tbilisi Festival of Theater, which launched that day. He also visited Shukishvili National Dance Company. The Vaslavani Protected Area was awarded the European Diploma for Protected Areas by the Council of Europe for its preservation of biological, geological, and landscape diversity. Art and cultural centers around Europe celebrated the 80th birthday of composer Gia Cancelli. Brussels Center of Fine Arts has a concert this week featuring Georgian National Symphony Orchestra. Last month, there was a series of concerts in Berlin. Concelli's compositions have featured prominently in Georgian theater and cinema. Parliamentary news. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 28th of September, President Mark Velashvili signed into law a bill introducing new rules for the selecting and electing of the chief prosecutor. According to the president's parliamentary secretary, the president is signing it even though the changes fail to provide real reform, but he expects that real reform of the prosecutorial system will be launched and implemented in the near future. Reforms should secure the institutional and political independence and impartiality, as well as the accountability of the prosecutor's office, he said. As a reminder, Parliament passed this bill with its final reading on the 18th of September. Opposition lawmakers from the UNM and Free Democrats were against it, as were dozens of NGOs, since the government and justice minister still keep a significant role in the process of selecting the chief prosecutor. So they argued that the bill fails to secure the depoliticization of the prosecutor's office. It is very convoluted, sets up some new council that the government will still control, but at least it will be indirect control rather than direct control, which is a tiny step forward, but okay. Mark Velashvili is right, but I don't think any more reform is going to come in the nearest future, sadly. On the 29th of September, Parliamentary Committee for Legal Affairs endorsed a proposal to repeal imprisonment as a punish for the possession and use of small amounts of marijuana. The decision comes 3 months after the same proposal was also backed by the Human Rights Committee. Under the current law, possession of small amounts of marijuana for personal use without intent to sell is an administrative offense punishable by a 500 lari fine. Repeat offenses carry punishment of either a fine, community service, or up to 1 year imprisonment. The bill was originally proposed, but now independent lawmaker Goga Khachidze a few months ago, former Minister of the Environment, but the original version called for full decriminalization for possession and personal use of small amounts of marijuana, but it was not accepted. In order to be confirmed by Parliament, the bill requires the support of a majority of lawmakers present at the session when the bill is put to a vote, therefore no less than 50 lawmakers. 29th of September, Parliament started reviewing the proposal to abolish compulsory military service and move towards a professional military based on contracts. The bill was proposed by the UNM. It was submitted by lawmaker Zura Japaridze in July. The Human Rights Committee and the Civic Integration Committee started discussing the proposal this week. Offices known as commissars, which register and recall citizens for compulsory service, would be closed. The idea is to redirect money spent on registration, medical inspections, and other aspects of the compulsory service and investing it in a professional army. Money would be lost in terms of fees for delaying compulsory service. In 2014, those fees were about 1.4 million lari. As a note, it's common for young men to go through hoops to avoid compulsory service. If they can, they enroll in master's, PhD programs, try to stay in school as long as possible until they're over the cutoff age. On the 24th of September, the Parliament Committee for Human Rights gave the go-ahead for the formal initiation of a bill, which, if approved, would set mandatory quotas for women in Parliament. The bill was submitted by the Task Force on Women Political Participation, a coalition of NGOs that advocate gender equality. It includes a zipper system where male and female candidates would alternately appear on the party list of MP candidates for the next year's parliamentary elections. It aims at increasing the share of female legislators in the next parliament to at least 25%. Currently, there are 17 female lawmakers, accounting for 11.3% of the 150-seat parliament. As a reminder, 77 seats of parliament are allocated based on a proportional party list system, and 73 seats are distributed to a majoritarian MPs from single-mandate constituencies. If the zipper quota system is introduced, it will apply to the party list component and will result in at least 38 female lawmakers in the next parliament. The Parliamentary Committee of Human Rights' decision to endorse the bill does not mean that it will be introduced to the parliamentary session for further consideration in its current form. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 29th of September, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili said that there is no way to scrap the majoritarian component of the electoral system in time for next year's elections. He also alluded, which means that Otsneva does not want to do it. He also alluded that he had to accept a proposal to have a full party list proportional system for the post-2016 elections in order to avoid a collapse of the Georgian Dream coalition, that there needs to be a unanimous decision within the coalition on this issue, so it's not worth breaking the coalition over it. As a reminder, the Georgian Dream ruling coalition initiated a draft of constitutional changes to scrap the majoritarian component of the electoral system for elections that will be held. I mean, first past the post majoritarian component of the electoral system for elections that will be held after the 2016 parliamentary polls. On a similar note, a group of parliamentary and non-parliamentary opposition parties launched a campaign earlier to collect 200,000 signatures to initiate a constitutional amendment to get rid of the majoritarian part of the electoral system for the 2016 parliamentary elections. On the 23rd of September, Free Democrats organized a meeting in Parliament with these groups. They decided their campaign to get the 200,000 signatures was not enough. It is not going to convince the Georgian Dream Coalition to accept scrapping the majoritarian component for next year's election. So they said that the opposition should use all procedural instruments possible and then resort to street protests if necessary. Okay, everybody, listen to me because I know about this. Right? I hate the current majoritarian system, very much support the multi-member regional constituencies. There is no chance that that is going to pass before these elections because Otsneba doesn't want it to, for the exact same reason that the national movement didn't want it in the previous parliament, because it makes it much easier for incumbents that have power, particularly incumbents that have power and money, to ensure that they will continue to control parliament. So the best thing that we can get is to have that for the next elections. So I'd encourage everybody to go for that. That doesn't mean that it's possible that the opposition will get some or even lots of majoritarian seats, but it does mean that they're going to have to do it in single-member constituencies this time around. The meme this week is a video posted by the Ministry of Internal Affairs on their Facebook page of them simply bringing two guys into the police station. They were arrested for beating up two Nigerians in Tbilisi earlier in September. So they're charged with committing a hate crime based on race. It is an official video designed for people to understand the deal. So good job, Interior Ministry. Misha's role in Odessa is an ever-popular topic in things to read. The Economist gives it the treatment, noting that the biggest threat to Ukraine is now not a Russian invasion, but corruption so pervasive that it long ago ceased to be a disease of the post-Soviet system and became the system itself. They explained that when Misha tried to clean up the Odessa Customs Department, the government lowered tariffs in Ukraine's other ports and diverted away Odessa's ports' business so that the bribes would continue to come in. And that's why Misha then went on TV and accused Prime Minister Yatsenyuk of sabotage. Bloomberg's view also meets with Misha in Odessa, where he says that if the necessary reforms in Ukraine don't happen in the next 6 months, there'll be a collapse. They ask, can Misha do in Odessa what he did in Georgia if he doesn't have absolute power? The difference is that in Ukraine, society may want the reforms, but the oligarchs don't. So Misha is resorting to stirring up public support and public pressure. Foreign Policy magazine sits down with President Mark Velashvili in New York to talk Georgia's strategy, stepping around both Russia and the U.S., being a Western ally, but trying not to provoke Russia. In Foreign Policy, Michael Cicieri writes about the endless NATO-Georgia courtship. NATO's vague, Georgia's trying, but NATO's not going to be letting them in for now. He advises Tbilisi to build strong one-on-one ties with the U.S. and also with China. Elizabeth Dunn examines the failure of refugee camps in helping victims. We're talking about IDP camps in Georgia. They're built as a temporary solution, but people often end up living there for longer, waiting for change that doesn't come. She visits IDP camps in Georgia. Sergei Markadonov writes on 25 years of South Ossetian independence as an explainer for Russia on how to deal with the region. First, he compares Ossetia and Abkhazia. It looks at how Abkhazians never really wanted to be a part of Georgia, but Ossetia was a lot more integrated. But then Georgian nationalist leaders stirred the pot up in the early 90s and again in 2004 and pushed South Ossetia to want to join Russia, kind of. John Helmer, on his blog, calls Misha and former Polish foreign minister Radek Sikorski clowns. Both are now working for Poroshenko in Ukraine on reforms. He says that Sikorski used government money to fund think tanks in Warsaw, where he employed his friends, that he has no political support in Poland. He also details Americans Misha hired for big sums to do his PR. Helmer is an idiot who works for the Kremlin, but still they have their place, and you can learn a lot from reading the stuff that they say. Tara Burton explores the craziness of the idea of the new Batumi for Roads and Kingdoms. Matthew Miller for Eurasianet reports on Georgia's now struggling used car export industry. Azerbaijan was the main market for the used cars, but in 2014 they adopted higher standards, and their national currency, the manat, devalued, so people don't really have the cash for cars. The Telegraph looks at who are the most wanted Islamic State or Daesh terrorists. Pankizi native al-Shishani is there, but they use his birth name, Batirashvili. There's a $5 million bounty on his head. TI Georgia, via CRC survey, looks if there's money collection at public schools and finds that it is rare. What that leads them to is that private tutoring is very big in Georgia. A site called Wallpaper has a list of the best urban hotels this year, which includes Rooms Hotel, Tbilisi. CRC is looking at think tanks in the three South Caucasus country. So first, there's an overview on that. In this post, they talk with Hans Goodbrut on the strength of think tanks in each country and how much they can influence policy. Public Service Hall has a kind of promo video for BMX pro Vicky Gomez doing tricks in the Tbilisi Mushroom Building. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is $10 million. That's how much Inlari the government has spent on marketing Georgian wine, according to Agriculture Minister Donelia. He said that previously they spent only a fifth of that amount on marketing. As a reminder, in the first 7 months of 2015, wine export went down by 46% compared to the previous year. Reduced export is mainly attributed to the economic crisis in Russia and a pretty good harvest. Russia was the biggest importer last year. State Museum of Folk and Applied Arts in Tbilisi on Dadiani Street has an exhibit about the 19th century British and Russian Empire rivalries in Georgia. A key part of the exhibit is the palace decor of Iranian spiritual leader Aga Mir Fateh Mujtahid. Elaborate and beautiful mosaics. Exhibit is on for the next 2.5 months. If you're in Tbilisi, trust me, go see this. Tbilisi International Festival of Theater is continuing till the 8th of October. Go to tbilisiinternational.com for a schedule. In London, don't forget there's the London Georgian Film Festival this week until the 7th of October. Go to lifethroughcinema.com for a schedule and to learn about the films. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post the form on the website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1981, widely believed to be the most widely believed album in history, this is David Byrne and Brian Eno from Life in the Bush of Ghosts and Regiment.